the word miracle comes to mind. That morning, I wouldn't have been able to do it. An hour or two of being taken out of that MRI machine, I could do all of that. I had a beautiful signature. I was willing to shake hands with people again, and I had a new shot at life, at being productive and happy.
Beverly McGowan is no stranger to the medical field. She worked for 11 years as a family nurse practitioner in Western Montana, but as her essential tremor became more pronounced, she was forced to leave her beloved practice caring for American veterans and could no longer participate in the hobbies that brought her joy. After trying medication to manage her condition, she learned about focus ultrasound treatment, and in 2018 traveled more than 1,000 miles to Stanford University to undergo a procedure. Now she remains tremor-free, is a staunch advocate for focused ultrasound, who has shared her experience with members of Congress, thought leaders, and prospective patients. Now she will be working more closely alongside the Focus Ultrasound Foundation. Welcome to the podcast, Beverly.
Oh, thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here, Allison.
So you worked as a nurse for 11 years. What initially drew you to the medical field?
Well, I had several years of other types of careers. I didn't go into the medical field until I was in my early 50s. And the reason I went into it is because I had a strong need to serve, to help people.
And you were working, as we mentioned, for several years, and then you started to notice a tremor. When did that first happen?
Well, it happened surprisingly when I was sitting in my office at the VA clinic, and I was having trouble keeping the hand, my right hand, steady on the mouse. So my cursor was moving all over the computer screen. And I thought, that is really weird. I'm not making that mouse move like that. I'm just sitting here watching as a third party observer, the mouse going kind of all by itself. That was when I first really noticed it. And it progressed from there to get to the point where I couldn't control the mouse at all. I couldn't use a keyboard because I was double and triple striking keys involuntarily. It made my job very difficult because I wrote very long medical opinions in my position at the VA, and my reports were several pages long, so it was taking me a long time to complete my work. Then when it got to the point where I couldn't hold my stethoscope steady to be able to hear the heart rate or to hear the lungs, what's going on in the lungs, couldn't do simple procedures like taking off a mole or even giving a vaccination because my hand was just having a life of its own. And it was making not only me very uncomfortable, but also the patients were not very confident in receiving treatment from somebody who couldn't control their hands. So very distracting.
Did it feel like a steady progression, or was it a quick degradation, you know, over a couple months?
No, it was a steady progression of increase in the symptoms over a few years, actually. The symptoms become worse with or more exaggerated with anxiety, stress, if you're very, very tired, if you're really hungry, and the situation of sitting in front of patients and trying to do an assessment that's thorough and accurate, and you're shaking, and you can see that the person that you're dealing with is a little bit anxious about my shaking, and that would kind of create this cycle where I would get more anxious and the tremor would get worse, and that would make me more anxious again. I did have, I started having episodes where I would have to actually leave the exam room and go out and stand in the hallway and try and calm myself down because I was shaking so much I couldn't write, couldn't take notes. And so that was getting to the point where it was prohibiting me from being an effective provider.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's so difficult. Did it feel like, you know, being a stranger in your own body almost?
Absolutely, like I was possessed on my right hand.
And were there any other activities that you previously enjoyed doing that you can no longer do?
Yes, the number one thing is photography. I love photography as a hobby, but I also started doing it as kind of a little side business. And my style of taking pictures is, you know, the camera around your neck and just walking in nature and being completely free to shoot at the spur of a moment, whatever you see that catches your eye. And I couldn't hold the camera steady. And that's the blurriness in a picture from movement is one of the things that you absolutely cannot correct in post-processing. The other things that I enjoy doing or just doing in general, wasn't able to cook anymore. It was, my husband used to say, boy, you pick up a knife in the kitchen, Beverly, and you clear the place out in 5 seconds.
Oh, no.
It's dangerous to be carrying a glass of a cup of hot water or tea, just not able to be a good full-time and engaged partner with my husband, help him with chores, just very simple things. Couldn't apply my makeup, certainly couldn't eat, especially in a public environment. The food just seemed to disappear off of my eating utensils before it reached my mouth. So there was, it became quite isolating, not wanting to be out in public because you could see not only was it embarrassing for me, but it was embarrassing for the other people that you were trying to socialize with.
And when was the point where you decided, I have to do something about this?
When I started to have to leave my interview rooms, in the clinical environment to try and calm myself down. And I just wasn't being effective, as a provider. And, that was probably the turning point.
Did you use medication at first?
Yes, I certainly did. And that's usually the first protocol with this condition is they put you on an antihypertensive medication to try and see if they can slow down the tremor. And unfortunately, they have to use dosing of those medications to quite a high dosage level in order to present any improvement in the tremors. And I was already on a high blood pressure medication. So this was causing my body physiologically to slow down, to shut down. And my heart rate dropped down into the 30s.
Oh, no.
So now I wasn't able to even get off the couch at home and move about. So that turned out to be not an effective way to go.
And when did you first hear about Focus Ultrasound?
Well, I first heard about it by doing my own research. I was not happy with the alternatives that were out there. They were too risky for treating this condition. Things like having to drill a hole in your skull and have multiple surgeries and long recovery times and the risks of infection and so forth. So I was really driven to find what was going on that wasn't in the public eye. There's got to be some research going on to give us some better answers. So I jumped on the internet and I ran into a company called Inside Tech, who was giving out information to potential patients, people who were interested in this and had heard about it. And this was in the days before the procedure was covered by Medicare or insurance companies. It was very important that they were there to walk me through what this procedure was about. And I'm very grateful for the work that they were doing. Mm-hmm.
Did it sound too good to be true at first?
Pretty much, because they were quoting their research studies were showing quite dramatic improvements in outcomes compared to these other procedures. 40% improvement in things like deep brain stimulation, and focused ultrasound was showing a median improvement rate of about 70%.
Oh, wow.
And that was impressive. And so that drove me to say, tell me more, tell me more.
And at this time, you mentioned it wasn't covered by Medicare.
That's correct.
And so you crowdfunded the procedure, right?
Yes, I did.
What was the goal amount to cover for the procedure?
Well, the whole procedure at that time cost about $50,000. However, Stanford was really looking to find, they were one of only four treatment facilities in the United States at that time, and they were looking for good candidates so that they could, you know, keep doing the procedure, get more clinical evidence, et cetera. And after I did some preliminary testing with them and they said, you're a really good candidate for this type of procedure, they came back to me and they said, Beverly, if you can come up with the out-of-pocket expense, which is about half, mm-hmm. in cash, we will go ahead and do the procedure for that. Mm-hmm. So the goal was $25,000.
So can you walk our listeners through the procedure? What was it like and what did you experience?
Well, you have to have your head shaved. And the next thing that we did was you need to have a apparatus on the head. I call it a halo. It's similar to a halo. And this halo contains about 1,000 bores in it, and those are holes. Then each one of those holes contains or houses one ultrasound wave, and those ultrasound waves are then focused in together, much like taking a magnifying glass out into the sun and focusing those sun rays down into to burn the grass or a leaf. Okay, so that apparatus was placed on my head. And on top of that was placed a water bladder that was going to have cool water running through it. And that's because those ultrasound waves are heated up or increased in frequency, which causes heat. So that water bladder kept the temperature of your skull cool. So we got those in place. I took the anti-vomiting medication. I took a mild sedative as well to help with the anxiety. However, I was really quite relaxed. So that was a good thing. Then they place you in an MRI machine. And the reason they use the MRI machine is because we are going to focus those ultrasound waves deep into the brain, into the thalamus. And they have to be very, very, very precise in where they put those crosshairs of that, of those ultrasound waves. So they use the MRI machine instead of the MRI machine taking slides, still slides of tissue, they use it in what they call live mode. So it's more like a camera. And it becomes the eyes of the operators who are moving those crosshairs into their position, into the targeted area. They can do it very precisely. It also gives them an idea of how big the lesion is that they are creating, how much cell tissue they are actually damaging. So they can be very, very precise and cut down on the collateral damage. All right. So they put you in the on the bed of the MRI machine, and that metal frame that you have on your head, that halo, locks into the bed because you have to keep your head completely still so that you aren't taking their focus off. They slid me into the MRI machine, and then they do what they call a sonication after they are aimed up in the thalamus where they want to be. Sonication just means they're increasing the frequency of those waves, and it creates a little bit of heat. That heat swells those cells up to the point that it makes those cells temporarily inactive. Now they slid me out of the MRI machine. A person came up and stood next to me, had a clipboard. He handed me a pen, asked me to draw concentric circles, draw a straight line, sign my name, and then they handed me a bottle of water that had a top on it and asked me to do the movement of bending my elbow as though I was going to drink that water, because that movement is very aggravating to a tremor. A tremor will always act up in that kind of a movement. They looked at the results on the clipboard and the results of my moving my hand and compared them to what my test results were prior to the procedure. Are they improving? Are they worse? Are we in the right spot? Okay, they were improving. So back in the machine I go, they make their adjustment to the target, and they do another mild sonication again. And again, we repeated going back out, doing the clipboard, drinking the water. And we did that procedure about probably 5 or 6 times to the best of my recall. Each time showing improvement. So they knew they were getting closer and closer and closer. When my signature was beautiful, my line was completely straight, my concentric circles were gorgeous, I had no shake or tremor when I was trying to lift that, lifting that bottle up and down. They slid me in one last time. This time they heated those or increased the frequency of those sound waves to a point where it created a temperature of about 53 degrees Celsius. And that would permanently kill those cells. And that sonication lasted for about 20 seconds. I did not feel any pain. I did not feel the heat. In fact, my only sensation that was really vivid, other than this feeling of tingling in my stomach, like if you did a somersault and you get that kind of flip feeling in your stomach. I did experience that, but it was very pleasant. It made me feel like I was a kid on a swing again.
Yeah, that's so interesting. Well, I'm glad you didn't feel any pain. And how did you feel after the procedure? Did you have any side effects, or was it difficult to get back into the things that you used to do?
The most prominent side effect was some imbalance to the side that was treated. So we were warned about that. And I stayed arms locked with my husband for a couple of weeks after that, when we were walking around in public, or, you know, outside of the home, or if I was trying to attempt to go up or downstairs. So the other sensations that I had or side effects was I had some foggy thinking. It was like I had taken a big glass of wine. I was a little slow and measured in my speech. I wasn't responding as quickly or as spontaneously as I normally would in a conversation. Not sure if other people noticed that. I noticed it and my husband noticed it, but I'm not sure that other people would have really noticed that. And my reaction time was a little bit slow. I didn't feel comfortable driving. It's like, did I really look and really see clearly from right to left? Can I pull my foot off of that accelerator quick enough to hit the brake pedal if I needed to? Just wasn't confident in that area. I'd like to say that those side effects were erratically dissipated within about 3 weeks and completely gone within 4 weeks.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. So definitely just short-term side effects.
Yeah. The side effects were most prominent right after the procedure. And then as the cells that are around the targeted area calm down, because they pick up a little bit of heat, they go back to their natural working environment and capabilities. And so as that inflammation goes down, then they start firing at their normal level. And so all of those side effects went away.
And when were you able to get back into photography and the other hobbies you enjoyed?
I could do everything immediately.
Wow.
Everything immediately. It was just incredible. I got off of that the recovery table, grabbed my husband's arm. We walked across the street to the Stanford Mall, and we sat outside in a public venue and had lunch, clicked our glasses together, mm-hmm. you know, in celebration, and I could actually meet his glass. and it's the first time that we had eaten in a public environment in 4 years.
Wow. How good did it feel to be able to do that?
It was like it, you know, the word miracle comes to mind, the mm-hmm. word miracle. That morning, I wouldn't have been able to do it. An hour or two after walking, of being taken out of that MRI machine, I could do all of that. I had a beautiful signature. I was willing to shake hands with people again. And life just seemed like somebody flipped the switch, and I had a new shot at life, at being productive and happy.
And you were even able to return to your work as a nurse, right?
Yes, ma'am. All of the medical information or professional terminology was there. You know, I could hold conversations. I was sharp and clear in my mind. And yes, I went back to work full-time after about a month after the procedure.
And you've been an incredible advocate of focus ultrasound treatment for essential tremor, and even spoke at the fly-in to Capitol Hill in 2023. So what was that experience like being in DC?
Well, that's quite an experience in and of itself to have access to the legislators in our country. And we have a compelling story to tell. And I keep a little 30-second before and after video on my phone. So I use that as my greeting card. And so I said, the picture shows the whole story, mm-hmm. catches their attention. I had the assistant to one of the legislators in Montana tell me that he has worked with legislators for over 20 years on Capitol Hill. And he says there are two people that he'll never forget their story or their name. One of them was a military veteran who had PTSD symptoms eradicated by using psychedelic medications. And he said, the other one is you.
Wow.
And he says, that's an amazing, amazing story.
And amazing before and after, just seeing the results and how quickly they can happen. So what would you say to others who are considering focus ultrasound treatment for their essential tremor?
I would say you definitely need to keep an open mind and consider it as an option to the other things that are out there. This is immediate. It's not a panacea. It's not for everybody. But if you are a candidate for it, there's no long recovery time. Again, the results are immediate. There's no risk of infection because they're not cutting into the tissue of your body and letting bacteria in. There are no long-term needs to go back to your provider for follow-ups. I had one follow-up with Stanford, and it's been 6 years now. And I don't have to go back every so often, get anything adjusted, anything altered. It's a kind of one and done deal. And the big factor of having immediate, very good, impressive results is worth its weight in gold.
And you've already done so much to share about the work we're doing at the foundation. And now we're lucky enough to have you join the team as a patient advocate. So what will you be doing with your new role at the foundation?
Well, I will be offering my story. And people want to know what it was really like. They don't want to be handed a brochure that says these are the possible side effects, et cetera, and have that be sufficient enough for them to make a decision. They want to know, what was it like? What was your experiencing inside the MRI machine? What were your side effects? What was the recovery time? They want to hear the words come from somebody that's not associated with a pharmaceutical company or running a provider's business. So I think that's my biggest gift, is to be able to be that voice for them. I will also be broadening my scope of interaction with people who are interested in the other 30-some mechanisms that ultrasound can be used for, to deliver drugs and to heal the tissues in the body and eradicate tumors and so forth. So I will be able to talk to people about those types of procedures and what the risk factors are, etc.
Well, Beverly, thank you so much for taking the time to share your story, and we're so excited to have you here at the foundation.
I appreciate you, and I appreciate what you do in getting this information out to the public. Thank you so much, Allison. It was a real pleasure.
This episode of Curing with Sound has been presented by the Focus Ultrasound Foundation. If you'd like to reach out to Beverly and learn more about Focus Ultrasound for essential tremor, email bmcgowan@fussfoundation.org. And if you'd like to learn more about Focus Ultrasound or the foundation, visit our website, fussfoundation.org. You can also sign up for our newsletter and follow us on social media.